Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. We got to go out really early or really late because it's going to be really hot. It's going to be sunny today, yes, on Oahu and Maui. Scattered showers in the morning. On Kauai, some isolated showers through the day. Thunderstorms a possibility in the afternoon. Locally, heavy rainfall possible in the afternoon. Boy, we need it. High 85 to 90. I'm talking about Oahu and Maui right now. The easterly winds are 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, isolated showers. Yeah, easterly winds 15 miles per hour. Hey, it's going to get down to 71 to 76 degrees. Sunday, if you'd like to go out and play around on Sunday, partly cloudy, isolated showers, 84 to 89. Lows 70 to 75. The winds are variable. And Columbus Day, if you've got the day off, oh, I don't. Partly cloudy, scattered showers, high between 83 and 88. The low tonight, 70 to 75. And those variable winds to 15 miles per hour. That's always a tough one for golfers, you know, which way they're variable. Oh, dear. Okay, Big Island on Saturday, sunny, isolated showers, high 83 to 88. Northeasterlies, let's all go to the Big Island, 15 miles per hour, and Saturday night mostly clear on the leeward side, isolated showers in the evening, windward, scattered showers through the night, and the lows, oh no, let's go, yes, Big Island, 69 to 74. I'd like to take some of that chill. All right, and we've got some tee times for you on the Big Island. Volcano Golf Club, 832, 924, 1048. Jack and Jill are heading out at Makalei, and there's an 848 and a 928 and a 1030 if you'd like to go over the hill with Jack and Jill. Kauai, Poipu, 950, 1020, 1110. The Weekend Warriors are on the course, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Kauai Lagoons has an 836, a 956. The insurance adjusters are on the course. Give them lots of room. Pearl at Kalaau, well, you've got an 8:30, a 9:52, an 11 o'clock. Women Mean Business are on the course. Hawaii Kai has a 9:16 and a 10:48. Turtle Bay has an 8:36 and a 9:20 and a 10:30. Now let's go to Royal Hawaiian. 8:52, 9:18, 11:18, 8:48. That's Heba Beach Golf Course, 9:52, 11:06. And Bayview has an 8:30, a 9:30, and a 10:30. Why call around? Just listen to the show. You'll find out that Wailea has a 10:20 and an 11:50. Ka'anapali Beach Club. The whole crew is on the golf course, the whole club. So that's why there's fewer tee times. Wailea, Emerald Course, you've got it. Yes, make that the gold course. There's a 140 on the gold, on the emerald, 10:30, 11:20, 11:50, and Maui Nui, 9:16 and 10:22. So you just have a wonderful day on the golf course. Lots of, you know, sun stuff. Whatever you use, slather it on or lather it on. I can't wait. What am I doing blathering? Jeff Shackelford is with us this morning. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
I'm Danielle Tucker, host of The Golf Club.
Brought to you by the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and great fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. In Evilay, next to Costco Gas, and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui.
The Golf Club
on 101.1.
You know, if you go online, Jeff Shackelford is the author of 13 books. He's the publisher of The Quadrilateral. It's a year-round newsletter from one of golf's last independent voices devoted to all things Grand Slam, the best cup events like the Ryder Cup. Jeff was the senior writer for Golf Week, USA Today. He's worked for all of the golf publications. It's a very long list. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Hi, Danielle. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to hear your voice. It's awesome. I just, you know, I get so nervous. Jeff is going to be on the show. My God, am I going to be up to it? But listen, I was going through your newsletter, and you can get the newsletter. Go to jeffshackelford.com. Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, shackelford.com. Okay. I was going down looking at the major news notes for October 9th and happy belated 95th and seeing all the Bobby Jones amazing trophies and McIntyre wins the Dunhill and all these fabulous pictures of the Ryder Cup and these massive crowds. And then I get to, the Ryder Cup hats just dropped new for 2027. Of course, there was a big, you know, thing about the Ryder Cup hats and when they would come out and whatever. But I looked at this and it says Magaga, GA. It's a red hat. Magaga. I'm like, Magaga? Magaga. And then I read a little bit lower. Underneath Magaga, it says, Make America Good at Golf Again. That is really something. Where did that come from?
Oh, that was just one of those meme deals floating around after the U.S. team got embarrassed at that page.
Yes.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's become a tradition in a weird way, us losing the Ryder Cup.
You know, what everybody complained about the very, very inappropriate galleries of people who were screaming obscenities. Were they really?
Oh, yeah, it was dreadful, And where it really crossed the line was how much it happened as a player was over the ball, getting ready to play a shot or hit a putt. And there was just no humor in any of it either. The heckling was crass and unpoliced, basically, even though there were a lot of police, not that it was their job.
Yeah.
It was the PGA of America's job to have some people out there going, hey, that's inappropriate. We have kids out here. We have wives, you know, they were getting personal with their players, especially Rory. So it just crossed multiple lines. It was all totally predictable. And I don't chalk it up, Danielle, to New York fans. You know, that's kind of been a common
blame game. Yeah,
and it was something different. You know, it was more predictable, not because, I mean, sure, New York is tough, but we had some borderline fan behavior in the Midwest, and where everybody's supposedly so nice and Whistling Straits and Hazeltine in Minnesota. And, you know, it's more about the difficulty to get to the course, the cost of the ticket. You know, all these things sort of build up, and then you don't see much golf out there when you're there. And then we do have the element where people are encouraged to be loud, and unfortunately in our country that translates to loud, stupid, and kind of ugly. And you know, the Europeans are pretty tough in the heckling, but there's always that element of humor, and I just didn't hear that. You know, I love New York humor, and I didn't really hear that kind of bitter but sarcastic sort of New York style. It just was more crass. It was a shame, but it was kind of predictable, and I don't think it would have gotten out of control if they just
Police
a little bit more,
yes.
You know, ejected a few people more in a more high profile way and that kind of thing and put a stop to it quickly. But they didn't.
Well, do you think the PGA of America is going to make some changes?
I don't know. You know, this was something that happened, as I said, the last two domestic Ryder Cups. So it was kind of predictable. And you know, when their president has been out front, first saying this wasn't an issue and it happens in Europe, blah, blah, blah. You've got a problem because that's your front person for the PGA. And then, of course, they sort of backed off a couple of days after the Ryder Cup. But, my gosh, it was something they should have been all over during the event or even coming into the event. And I haven't researched it yet, Danielle, but I know somewhere in my photos I have pictures of people who were sort of gallery monitors. They would wear a vest, and I can't remember exactly the wording. I'm going to find it, but it was to the effect of, we're out here to just kind of remind you this is a nice competition, and And they, you know, they looked like crossing guards. And I'm pretty sure it was at one of the Ryder Cups and maybe at an Open Championship. But we needed something like that because it's not up to the people who are in law enforcement there who are there to look for something more serious to be basically like school teachers out scolding fans. That's not their job.
No. And the golf, it's supposed to be polite.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the Ryder Cup, I'm all for the fun and kind of the more boisterous crowds and the edge to the, you know, some booing. It's almost sarcastic booing. But the problem is, as you know, golf is not like football or basketball or baseball with a big arena and stadium and heckles get lost in the noise. You can disrupt the competition in golf, and it's something that I've long been bothered by, that the organizations in golf have sort of taken kind of lightly. And as we move into sports betting and different things like that, it's just something I've been amazed that they have not been more proactive on. And it's not hard to say, hey, it's okay to come out here and have fun. And in the Ryder Cup, sure, you can heckle the other team in good-natured ways, but that don't be getting personal, and don't be trying to interfere with somebody's shot. Mm-hmm. That's just that's unacceptable, mm-hmm. and it's a shame.
Yes, absolutely. I'm reading one of the titles of your books, The Future of Golf in America, How Golf Has Lost Its Way in the 21st Century and How to Get It Back. That came out in 2004. What made you want to write that book with that title?
Well, that one was driven more by the technology situation and the increasing cost to play the game and the signs that people weren't appreciating some things that were really important in the sport. I did not get into fan behavior. We did not see that. That was not – and sports betting. That was not – those were not things that at the time that was done. So yeah, well, a lot of great things have happened since that book. I'm not taking credit for it, but I'm pleased to see that a lot of these issues that, 20 years ago that seemed problematic, more people at least understand now. But we still have, as you might imagine, a few things to, with the growth in the sport, there are growing pains, and there are some things that it's bizarre to me. These organizations just seem so afraid to be seen as sounding like old fuddy-duddies when, you know, these are really important things to make sure that this nice boom we've had and appreciation for the sport continues without things like the Ryder Cup happening in a way that that are sort of embarrassing.
Yeah. You know, let's dive into the golf of the Ryder Cup. You know, the European team just about left Team USA in the dust, were it not for the singles matches. And I was thinking about how it's interesting the dynamic of a team, a couple of guys playing together, playing as a team against a team. And then there's the singles. And I think that says a lot about the people playing at the time. You know, the team guys on the European side, they know how to meld. You know, does that make sense? And
it does. And,
yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that people really lose sight of in match play and team match play. And I had a few arguments in the press center with people like about certain pairings, and they'd go, "Well, you can't put him out there. He strokes game -3 in approach, and the this and that." I'm like, "Well," and another time I was watching, I just watched Rory and Shane Lowry win, and I was saying to somebody how beautiful it was, how every hole Shane Lowry got up, hit it in the fairway, and it let Rory just attack the hole that much more. And the person said, "Well, the strokes gained says that it doesn't matter that where you hit it this week, blah blah blah." And I just went, "Well, I can't win this argument." But my point was that when you have a pairing and you watch the mojo that somebody like Rory gets from his player, his partner putting it in the fairway, and then letting him just be that much more aggressive, there's no stat you can put on what that means in match play. And the Europeans get those things where they get why certain partnerships work. It's why they have a plan and they stick to it. And they know that there are those little things that the numbers don't reveal in match play that are so important. And you have to have, you know, foursomes, the alternate shot in particular, you really have to have a bond between the two people because you just feel so much pressure to perform for the other person. And it's a very, very hard format. And they just seem to always get that. And we always seem to be just throwing people together based on the numbers when, yeah, sure, sometimes those things are helpful, but you also just have to have this intangible between the two players. It's just hard to quantify. It's a bond. It's a, yep. It's a trust. It's a, yep, comfort level.
Yep. Friendship. Big time. Yes. You're together. A bond is really the best word, that they come together. But then they lose it in the singles. I mean, we almost beat them just in the singles,
yeah,
matches.
And amazing comeback.
Yeah, it truly was. But it was our comeback, yet it was Europeans' loss. They, you know, somehow they don't have the confidence that they have as a team, you know, going in and playing as an individual against the United States team, Team USA.
Some of it's, yeah, I'd say some of it's that. I mean, because U.S. seems to always do well in singles no matter what the cup event is. Solheim, Walker, Curtis.
Yeah.
And I think that's more about our players just being more comfortable playing by themselves. The Europeans, this in the case of Bethphage, there was no question that they knew they had to get out ahead, and they played certain people a lot in those first four sessions, namely Rory and Rahm and, yeah, people like that, and they hit a wall. They got tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like a horse. There's some horses that get out front and say, you catch me, and that was their philosophy, and it almost, you know, backfired on them. But I think a lot of it this time was the fatigue, because the matches were actually, they were incredibly close. There was really only one 4-3 blowout, and I think the difference was the U.S. team just had that little bit of edge that they always have, and the Europeans started to get tired, some of them, and maybe their team at the bottom end wasn't quite as strong, but it is an interesting thing how the U.S. is always so good in singles, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I think that's because we play it so often. We don't do a lot of, do we do a lot of team matches? I don't know.
No, and that's a big part of the problem. And you know, when I heard that the U.S. team didn't do any practice foursomes at Bethpage, or, I mean, they might have, they kind of loosely did in the practice rounds, but when they gathered in Napa, and it's just such an odd format, and it's so different because you're not playing every tee shot. It's just something they're not used to, even though they play the President's Cup. The people who accounted for the U.S.'s recent success in foursomes, there were only two of them, Xander and Patrick Cantlay. Everybody else, it was essentially either a new format to them or one they had not been very successful in, and in the Ryder Cup, at least. And then, you know, in the President's Cup, we have had a little more success, and I do wonder if that clouded some of the thinking and some of the pairings. So it's just something that the Europeans have grown up playing more of, foursomes in particular, than our players.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, if you were the commissioner of all golf being played competitively around the world, what changes would you make?
Yeah, that's a big one, Danielle. There's a lot, but I mean, obviously I'd start with just kind of a rethink of some of the scheduling, and it's hard because we go to certain places, for weather at certain times of year,
yeah,
or to avoid certain weather, and there's TV stuff, but I just think that, there's an opportunity to kind of rethink how the schedule works, and hopefully that is something on the table. You know, it's this time of year, it'd be a great time of year for a little more focus on the global side of golf. You know, there's just the LPGA scheduling is awful. I continue to marvel at how they just seem determined to finish tournaments at the same time as the men, and the ratings show that that doesn't work for them. So why they don't try some Saturday finishes or even Monday finishes or some different things is beyond me. So, you know, that would probably be my number one thing. But, of course, you know, Danielle, I'd also start with rolling back the distance a little bit and cracking down on some of what I think is essentially cheating with modern equipment. I call it juiced, but you know, they're working around the parameters that we currently have in place. So, yeah. You know, until there's a little tougher stance taken on that, these companies will kind of keep taking things up to the line. And you know, we're seeing it play out in a weird way that's somewhat, I think, understandable to you all over there. I mean, I understand I haven't gotten into the details of Kapalua too much, but, you know, they're having a hard time finding a replacement venue this year. In part because, Danielle, there's just very few courses left in the world that can host the best players in the world. And there are many reasons. You know, you need space for logistics and things and location. But some of it is just, there's just not many courses that can handle drives now that are 320 on average and 300-yard carries. And and all the other things that go into hosting a tournament. So it's... I don't know if the new commissioner will understand that, but they certainly limited themselves on where they can go when they have a situation like the unfortunate one there in Maui.
Oh, yes. Well, that, you know, that was the drought. Mother Nature came down and went, whack, you know? You're not going to, you're not playing.
Well, we had this, by the way, we had the same thing here in Southern California when we had the fires last year and wisely decided they couldn't play at Riviera. Well, they just didn't, people kept going, well, they could go there. They go, well, there's different reasons. You know, they can't go to the desert for this. There's just not many courses. So ultimately, when it comes down to it, that can handle the modern game.
When you talk about the modern game, we're talking about the equipment that's juiced.
And so, you know, ultimately, they have to decide what's more important, the perceived needs of the bottom line of those manufacturers or their own product, their own tour. And so far, they haven't shown much wisdom on that front.
Okay. You know, you're marvelous. This is Jeff Shackelford, and you can get his newsletter, which is fantastic, jeffshackelford.com. Okay, and it's wonderful. His writing is spectacular. His insights, you're hearing it. I was surprised, of course, I shouldn't be, but basically the men's PGA Tour is over. It's done for the season, but it's not. We have Bay Current Classic in Yokohama, Japan, $8 million. Yeah. Okay, Black Desert Champ in Utah, USA, just $6 million. And the WWT Worldwide Technologies Championship in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, is $6 million. Do they ever stop?
They don't, and that's certainly a big topic of conversation with the new CEO, commissioner, whatever you want to call him at the tour. And, you know, I think that where it really stands out this year is we have kind of a change in with these signature events and this focus on these top players and getting them together. And then these fall events, it's not even clear to people who follow the game closely what is at stake any longer. It used to be they were, it used to be we started a new season in the fall, so that thankfully ended. But then it used to be about who's going to keep their card. Well, this year we're going to have fewer cards. So, some of these events have more meaning, but ultimately they and it's a shame, too, because some of these have nice sponsors, good golf courses, or at least good TV courses. And it's just hard to get excited to watch, and it's where you feel like the PGA Tour, this is the time of year that they should be combining with the European Tour or something to make this part of the year feel a little bit different. I think we're going to see big changes in the future with this fall. And of course, as you know, Danielle, the winners of these events no longer receive an invitation to the Masters, which was a good change because the field quality had gotten so poor. And so now something like this week's Spanish Open,
yeah, okay,
the winner does earn an invite to the Masters and the Open Championship because the Masters decided to recognize some national Opens. And I think it's a great change. Part of it's in response to the tour just, you know, being given this gift of Masters invites for the fall events and not really having a clear vision of what these events are and good quality fields. Or high quality fields. They're all good golfers, Daniel.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
No,
they're all great. But you know, in terms of people who are really in the top 100, they're pretty thin, these fields.
Yeah. I've been watching a little bit on TV. We could talk for an hour, but I I know you've got a lot to do. What are you writing? Are you writing a new book?
I am working on my Grounds for Golf book, which is coming back in print now that architecture's of interest, and then I'm working on something else. But and then the newsletter takes a lot of my time. We got a lot of news and notes just this weekend already, and we haven't even got winners yesterday. So the Ryder Cup fallout's beginning, and we're starting to get little drips and drabs of fun stuff. Well, not fun if you're Keegan Bradley, but fun if you're interested in how the dynamics of these things play out. So I'm currently writing that up.
Right on. You just keep writing, please, and I'll knock on your door some more about being on the show.
Okay, Danielle.
Jeff Shackelford, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. He's the author of 13 books, yes, publisher of Quadrilateral, year-round newsletter, one of golf's last independent voices devoted to all things Grand Slam, Best Cup events like the Ryder Cup. We just talked about it. I thought I had a whole list of his books, and I don't. But you just really go to jeffshackelford.com. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, it's Aloha Power's Columbus week-long sale. It's time to retire those big box tools. Could be. Yeah, you've been thinking about it? Well, Maruyama is still on sale, up to 25% off, and that won't last forever. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. We have service, parts, and accessories for every rider. From home to commercial sized, you just sit on down, you mow it, and then you blow it all together and you bag it and you're done. Get what you need right at Aloha Power Equipment in Evilay next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Christina Lance, Director of Communications, LPGA. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Always good to chat with you.
Oh, it's good to talk with you. And the 2025 Lotte Championship was right here in the beginning of October, 1-4, at Huakalei Country Club on Oahu, featuring a total prize pool of $3 million. The winner, $450,000. How was it playing here?
It was an absolutely awesome week, Danielle. I think this was year 3 or 4 at Huakalei, and they've been wonderful hosts for us. We've loved coming there since Hawaii came back to the schedule following that pandemic break.
Yes.
And added yet another awesome winner to the list of the season.
Yes, it truly was. And plus, I mean, the stellar field, Brooke Henderson, Nelly Korda, Charlie, you know, just a whole bunch of people coming over. Allison Corpuz won the 2023 U.S. Women's Open. Alexa Takai, 15 years old, Punahou sophomore, playing on the sponsor exemption. Absolutely fantastic field with, of course, LPGA rookie Mariel Galdiano, who grew up here, learned the game, and Moana Lua grad Lani Lua Fale Alo, who on Monday, or it was a Monday qualifier, so a huge field, a great time. And I think Anneli said, this is my third time playing in Hawaii and third different golf course. So as Brooke said, everyone is so nice in Hawaii. The weather is beautiful. The views are beautiful. So it's also Bermuda. It's also Bermuda grass. And that's something that I grew up on. So I'm a little bit more comfortable on it. That is such a wonderful thing to hear.
Good. I know the players always have a great time. Yeah, as Nelly said, with the Bermuda grass, that always makes the players feel at home. So many of our Florida players used to that. I know Megan Kang was staying with the Corpuzes at their house last week, and Allison was taking her all around the island. I ran into them both at Island Vintage Coffee as I was getting ready to leave on Sunday. We all needed our last little fix before we hit the road. But I know I saw pictures of Charlie in Koalina Bay and Nelly seeing her face in the Toomey store at Ala Moana Center. It was always a great week. We always love it's a long flight, but it's definitely worth it when you get off on the end there in the islands.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about long flights, and I'm always marveling at how much travel is involved in wanting to be a golf professional on a tour. The LPGA.
There truly is. And I mentioned Allison, when I said goodbye to her, I asked where she was going. I was going to my home in Nashville. Megan was going back to her home outside of Boston. And Allison was heading to Shanghai for this week's event in Shanghai, China. So it's just all over the place. It's a global tour. We call it the Olympics every week for a reason. It's truly a global tour.
Yeah, it's a global tour. All the different women coming from so many different places. And you're traveling around the world to perform. And
exactly. They're both entertainers and athletes. We fully understand that a lot of it is coming out and letting people enjoy, fans enjoy the spectating opportunity. And Hawaii started our trek over onto that side of the globe after the week in Hawaii. Now we're in Asia, playing across Asia, 4 countries in 5 weeks. And then we'll come back and close out the season for 2 weeks in Florida. So we definitely rack up the frequent flyer miles.
And no kidding. And I always wonder how in the world sponsors provide money so that the women can travel this much?
They do, especially on the Asian events, the 5 weeks across Asia, the 3 weeks we have in the spring. Those events are limited field events, and a lot of the travel is offset by the tournament. But also that's so many of the other events are on the player's own dime, and it's up to them to decide if they travel in coach or if it's a longer flight, if they stretch out to business class, and many of the other having to fly a caddy with them and physio and things like that. So that's why we've been so lucky over the last few years to see the purse sizes increase so greatly, playing for right at $130 million this year. But also we have other companies that are stepping up and providing missed cut stipends, so that even if a player doesn't miss the cut, they're not making a lot of money, more than a couple thousand dollars, but that's enough to at least offset some of the financial worries that might come along with not making a cut on a given week.
Yeah, after you've spent $1,000 flying from here to there and having a place to stay and food to eat and good, you know, it's just maybe a club needs some help. I just, something. By the way, if a golf club is damaged in flight, what does a player do?
So when we're here on the mainland, we have an equipment truck that travels with us. We have a great guy named Burton who travels with the tour week in, week out, has a maintenance truck that travels, and he can do basic fixes to most clubs. At the majors, we are lucky enough, and seeing it at more and more non-major events as well, well, we will have tour trucks come in from Titleist and Callaway and some of the bigger manufacturers. But when we're someplace like Hawaii, or when we're in Asia, we work out relationships with local golf shops or local stores that will go in and help. But thankfully also, if there's major breakage, I know we've had players who've arrived and their driver has snapped, and their partner will get one overnighted to them if they can.
Oh, now, yeah. There's the perfect fix.
always the nightmare. And when we see that picture come across someone's social media, there's always the worry. But we have had worst case scenarios. We had a player at the U.S. Women's Open this year with a mix-up, not get her clubs, and she played with another player's clubs for one day, but the next day she had a full set there. So they get a little scrappy sometimes, but always find a way to get it done.
I like that. I get a little scrappy. the 2025 season, have you really had 26 different winners in 25 official events? I can't quite figure that out.
We have 26 different winners across 25 events. One of those was a team event.
Ah, thank you.
Our event, the Dow Championship up in Central Michigan. So, yes, we always do need to caveat that. And the winners of that, Somi Lee and Jinhee M, were both first-time winners. But, yes, we've had 25 events this year, 26 unique winners. That ties the most unique winners we've ever had in a single season. I can't remember off the top of my head what year that was, but it certainly wasn't also all consecutively. And we actually, right now in China, there's the player at the top of the leaderboard, Benami Katsu, would be the next unique winner. So we will see what happens, but it's an amazing streak, and it just, in my opinion, speaks to how incredibly strong the tour is, how much depth there is out there.
Yeah, the depth is amazing. And the number of women from, how many different countries are represented?
On tour, we have over 30. I unfortunately don't have the winners list right in front of me, but
it's
I know we have, off the top of my head, we have the United States, Korea, Japan, Thailand.
Exactly.
It's an incredibly broad list.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweden, and I Australia. I know I'm forgetting some.
It's okay.
It's incredible.
It feels like there's somebody from every different country. We don't have Africa yet, right? We don't have someone coming in from, I don't know where.
So we have We have had a couple players from South Africa win in recent years. We did have our first player from Morocco earn LPGA status in recent years. There's not the perhaps the depth coming out of the African countries yet, but there are also, I think, several additional African-based players playing on the Ladies European Tour. And they have an event in Kenya. So that certainly is a another place where we hope golf develops. But Ashley Buhai, Paula Rito are both South African players who've won in recent years.
That's right.
Bringing more players behind them.
Wow. Going back to Nelly Korda, she bears a lot of weight from expectations from fans. How does she handle that? I just always, you know, people have expectations. Nelly is number one in the world. Well, maybe not right now. Mm-hmm. You know, why isn't she? What's wrong with her? What's going on? Do you get questions like that?
We do, certainly, especially when someone comes off a seven-win year like Nelly had last year. And we do get that question, why hasn't Nelly won this year? I mean, it's hard to carry a streak like that, no question. But she is also, she hasn't missed a cut this year, and she has eight top 10 finishes. She's still the second-ranked player in the world.
There you go.
And she still, after every single round, goes out and signs every single autograph. I give Nelly the ultimate props for doing everything with grace. I think it comes from having two elite athletes for parents who understand where things are coming from. Certainly her older sister helped, seeing the success of her younger brother. The genetics in that family are not fair. but they all just before her, and I've never met Sebi, but I've heard great things, but they all just, They understand what has blessed them, and they do with it as they can.
Now, most of the players are young, and you know, young women like to go out and do things other than, you know, work, which of course playing golf is work if it's your work. Did any of the players want to go out to Waikiki, cruise Kalakaua, you know, something I used to do when I was much younger?
We did see some players certainly go out and get feet in the ocean. I think there were a fair amount of players who came out early and did some sightseeing, and particularly the Iwai twins, Akie and Chisato from Japan. It was their first time in Hawaii, and they showed us some amazing photos. They took surfing lessons on Waikiki. They went up to the Dole Plantation. They made the most of the trip. They're both first time winners this year. They both won this year. It's been so fun this year to see their stars rise, and they are embracing the global nature of this. Everywhere we go, they're seeing something and doing something they haven't done before, which is really refreshing. I know. For me as a staff member, it's easy at the end of the day to just want to go back to my hotel room and put on my pajamas and sit there. To go out and actually see some of these places where we get to go is great for them.
Yes, it is. And did you say they're young? That's why you see.
Yes. They're both in their early 20s.
Right.
Travel the world with mom and dad. It's a fun story. They're identical twins. Thankfully, they dress differently and wear their hair differently, so we can tell them apart that way. But the funny thing is they found two caddies, Mark and Aaron, and they actually flip-flopped the caddies between them.
Huh?
So about 2 weeks, maybe Mark will caddy for Akie and Aaron will caddy for Chisato. And then we'll show up 2 weeks later and they'll have flip-flopped. It's an interesting dynamic, but it works for them. And it helps, I think, keep them from getting too ingrained in their ways.
Yeah, that's great. That's I've never heard of that before. You know, somebody wanting to, hey, by the way, I'd rather have him caddy for me and let's switch.
Exactly. We all were a bit taken aback when we first saw it, but clearly it works for them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And can I'm going to go, I felt kind of uncomfortable when we were talking about LPGA with Jeff Shackelford, who he meant no disrespect. I hope you know. When he was talking about it, he didn't understand why the LPGA goes up against the PGA Tour in television, televising, you know, when they have their schedules put together. And I've heard a lot of people say that. Why, you know, I wanted to, who do I choose? Which way do I go? Has there been any conversation inside the LPGA Tour about maybe figuring out something where they're not competing with the giant?
Well, we're always talking to our broadcast partners about trying to find the best way for us to reach the most fans. That's certainly something that Craig Kesler, our new commissioner, has said. He has Prime on his radar to make sure we're putting things in the best light. There are only 24 hours in a day.
Yes.
There are only so many of those hours that we're actually awake. Now, we are in the age of streaming. We are in the age of over-the-top opportunities, and I have no doubt we'll find some way to get additional time. More and more of our broadcast partners, our tournaments, are bringing in ESPN Plus for additional streaming opportunities, and you know, our season-ending event, the CME Group Championship, will have network hours. So it's a tough sell. There's no question about it, but I know Craig has that firmly on his radar of something to try and make better.
That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Anything that you wanted to talk about that I didn't give you an opportunity to?
I just, again, want to thank everyone there, all the fans who came out and supported us. It's always a great week. I do want to mention that the Lotte Championship was the last regular playing opportunities for Stacey Lewis and Pernilla Lindbergh, who both announced their retirements. Stacey, we're calling her a modern founder. She certainly has left the tour better than she found it. She's going to go on to new and great things. And Pernilla, a major champion herself, recently announced she's expecting her first baby.
Oh.
And so has decided to hang up the clubs. But she and Daniel are two of the sweetest, her husband, they're two of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. And so there were beautiful lay ceremonies from the teams at Lotte and Hoakalei. So just want to thank them very much for taking care of our players.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've been a real pleasure to talk with. It seems like it's been years since you've been on the show. Seriously.
It has been a while. I'm happy to talk to you, Danielle.
Excellent. So I will be knocking on your door. Okay.
It's a plan. No,
thank
it's
you
plan.
Very much. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back after this and take a lesson with Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
All right, Claude Brousseau, he's a PGA Master, Golf Digest instructor, V1 Sport coach, ambassador. That's the V1 Sport coach ambassador. Talent contributor for Sports Illustrated, Sportsbox AI certified, Flight Scope certified professional, Aimpoint Level 3 certified instructor, Vision 54 authorized coach, you know, director of player development at Wailea. Now you can see why. Ranked number one from 2019 through 2025, best teachers in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. He's still on the list. 2026, 2027, best teachers in the state by Golf Digest. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Thank you so much, Danielle. It's a pleasure to talk with you and your audience.
It's a good having you because you always have interesting insight. And the first thing I'm looking at is practice, okay? Practice. Everybody goes, oh, practice. Practice block versus random. Practice block versus random. What are we talking about here?
All right, Danielle. So basically, the block practice means that you will train on, you want to acquire a new skill, I will call that. Let's say you're struggling, you're a PGA pro, and a PGA coach told you you come over the top. Let's say your swing path is not as efficient as possible. So block practice means that for X amount of time, or let's say 10 balls, you will repeat the same motion, and you stay focused only on getting better at, let's say, if we call that training on your swing path. So block means a repetition of the same motion, a certain norm of repetition or a certain time, let's say 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you focus only on that. Also, the block practice, you will have place some training aid, I would call that, or devices that will provide immediate feedback. Are you doing the task or the challenge, I call that, that you're practicing or training on? So that's what we mean by block practice.
Got it. Okay, so you sent me fascinating information here about block practice versus random, or practice block versus random. Place two head covers, one outside of the target, 4 inches away from the ball, the other inside of the target line, 4 inches on the side of the ball. Tell us what are we going to get out of this?
Okay, that was an example, Danielle, of training on your swing path.
Okay.
We hear all often that the slicer of the ball, the golfer that slices the ball, the golfer path, think of path like driving your car on the road. You have to stay in your lane, correct? If not, you crash. So in golf, the path mean where is the club moving in the space. So that picture that I send you, so with two head cover on the ground, you know, plays the way you just described. The goal is not touching either one of them while you're swinging the club. So that will give you feedback. Let's say you were coming over the top. You will hit the head cover that is on the, let's say, the right side of the target line.
Okay.
Now, and then if you come over the top too much, you will probably hit both of them. The goal here is avoiding to touch both of them. And then when you, in the picture I send you, you see there is kind of a curve that the club has to come in between the two objects.
Yes.
So that's what we mean by block practice with immediate feedback.
Got it. Okay, then the random practice.
Then the random practice is more simulation of playing golf. So let's say you train on that swing path for a while, then you say, okay, now the random practice is it's one ball, one target, one repetition, and then you evaluate the outcome. So it's a lot more like playing golf. So how you can do that is, let's say you go at your practice facility, then you will imagine you're on the tee box of your course, number one, and then you use your driver. And then the next shot, you say, okay, I'm X amount of yards from the green. Then let's say, just an example, I need your 7-iron. So you do your routine again, and then you select a different target, and then you execute. Let's say you imagine, oh, I missed the green here. So, okay, I need to chip a shot for 20 yards. So you look at the spot of the grass, different color, then you use a club. So random is not many repetitions. It's more like testing or see if your block practice will hold under playing condition.
Under stressful playing conditions, because it doesn't matter if you're playing against somebody, it's always against yourself somehow. It's a challenge coming out of you, and there's always the question in the mind's eye that, you know, am I going to make it? Is this going to work? What do we do about all those thoughts, Claude?
Very good question, and that's true. So here's what I'm saying. It's a skill, and it's a mental training, I will say. So before you swing the club, Danielle, missing a shot doesn't exist in your head. So instead of going, oh, I'm not sure I will get it, I'm not sure I'm good enough, or I missed the last shot, I don't like this club. You see what the golfer are going. So before you swing the club, in your head you have to believe that the shot will be good, so you're good until proven otherwise. So that's one way to train to, I call that distract the distractor. The distractor is that you get caught up in stuff that you don't want to do, and then you better to focus and say, okay, I'm putting the ball, let's say that was a short game shot, 20-yard shot. You go in your head and you say, I will put that ball 5 feet from the hole. Because if you have that as an intention and you get that as a thought, you cannot have at the same time, I will chunk the shot.
you know, you're supposed to cleanse your mind of all those negative thoughts.
Correct, Danielle.
Yes.
Correct. Then a little bit, you know, like when we went into a quick tip to play better golf, I call that reframe the situation. And I do that often with players who come here at Wadia Golf Academy. Let's say we have a great short game area, and then I will place ball that they have to go over the bunker.
Okay.
Then they say, oh, my God, the bunker is there, blah, blah, blah. I say, okay, let's just move like 10 yards from there, and it's all nice grass. Same green in front of us, same distance. I say, are you stressed out because it's green in between the ball and the flag? They say, no, I'm not. But I say, how come you're stressed out when it's brown or blue, meaning sand or water? See, it's reframing the task or the challenge, Danielle, is getting the ball from point A to point B, and then now this is, let's say, a 35-yard shot.
Right.
Your mind has to go, I need to make the ball in the air 35 yards. Cannot think about the bunker.
No, right, exactly. I like that, you know. but we still, you know, there's a time when we still walk up and go, okay, what are we going to do here? Especially, I think, the newcomers. And I don't, and I'm trying to dissuade them from thinking that, you know, you're doomed from the get-go. You're not. It's normal. It is absolutely normal to question yourself. And that's why I always say you've got to make golf fun. If you don't make golf fun, you're going to kill yourself.
Correct, Danielle.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. So, of course, if your skill level or your competence, because you're a new golfer, I always tell everybody, like I was listening to you a little bit earlier. Okay, Nelly Korda started as a new golfer. She was not that good the first time she touched the club. Nobody is good the first time you playing golf. So it's normal. Missing shot is part of playing golf.
Yeah.
So the key is making sure that you stay focused more on good shot. As another example for when you said you doubtful before you play, you did, even if you were a newcomer, you did at least one or two good shots with, let's say, this club here that you have to use for that distance. In your head, you better to go in that part of your head versus,
yes.
Oh, I'm not good, I won't miss it.
Yes, that's right.
Because I was with somebody on the course this week, and I say, okay, you just did a fantastic shot on hole number four, 45 yards. Guess what? We are on number eight. You got a 45-yard shot to do. Just did it for you, four holes in the past today, so you can do it again. That's
yes.
Where you need to go in your head.
Exactly. I also like something that you've taught me about breathing and getting rid of muscular tension.
Yes, Danielle. So the tension is, for any athlete, okay, any athlete, the muscular system works better if it's not too tense. Of course, we need to hold the club. We move the body. We move the mass. However, most of the golfer, Danielle, when they hold that club, they got white knuckles.
Yeah.
They squeeze the juice out of the grip. See, okay, we need to relax the tension. The grip has to be steady. So one of the best way to train on that, it's at the practice facility, you should put the ball on the tee, take a 7-iron, let's say, and then you will practice. You will inhale on the backswing, exhale on the forward swing. Do a couple of practice like that, and do that at the ball. When you will strike the ball, you will inhale on the backswing, you will exhale on the forward swing. And then when you watch top players on TV, you will see most of them, they exhale before they walk to the ball.
I hadn't noticed that. Nice.
Well, next time you watch TV,
I
watch. It's normal to be stressed. But it's how you manage it. But breathing is the fastest way to decrease the tension in your body. You can experience it. Right now, everybody listening, if they took a deep breath in and exhale, at the end of the exhale, you will feel your body doesn't have that much tension in it.
I'm doing it right now. And I'm exhaling. I hope I didn't. But it is true. I didn't think about the fastest way to get rid of muscular tension is to breathe. What a good idea. And a lot of us just stop breathing when we're nervous, which is the worst
right.
possible thing that you can do, right? So,
or they want to, let's say, make the ball go farther. They hold their breath. Well, that's not good.
Oh, gosh. Holding, yes. No, that isn't good. Food for thought. Don't worry
yes.
about the time it takes to improve. Worry about working, training on the wrong skills. Claude? Yes?
That's kind of a, they make people laugh, but that's what it is. It takes time to get better.
Yes.
And you just want to make sure that you train on the correct skill to get better.
So you'd probably want to go see Claude, you know, he's on Maui, and there's got to be somebody on Oahu who can help you with, you know, working and training on the wrong skill. That doesn't help your game. Give us an example.
But it will be, okay, let's say, let's say you're not good at control your distance and putting.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say that's your problem. Then you go at the range and you spend 20 minutes on your driver.
Oh,
that's
oh.
kind of an extreme example. But don't use a driver if you have to identify where do you lose the most stroke when you play. If you do 36, there are 40 putts. But even if your ball is not your driving is not as good as it could be, but you better spend some time on putting. That's what I mean by that.
Yes, of course. I mean,
Go ahead.
You too.
But what I mean by that is just make sure you identify where you need the most improvement and start with that part of your game. But golfers in general like to practice what they're good at. So I'm telling them maintain the maintenance of what you're good at, but you have to get better where you lose your most stroke. So if it's your wedges that you like, let's say 80 yards from the green, you don't touch the green with your wedges, stop working on your driver.
Yeah.
Go in, practice your wedges. That's what I mean. Make sure you're spending time on the skill that will help you to play better.
Right. Another one, that 3.2, food for thought. This is 3.2. New goals don't deliver new results. New actions, processes over a period of provide the new results. So, in other words, just because you have a new goal doesn't mean it's going to immediately make everything perfect, right?
That's correct, Danielle. The goal is what you want to achieve, but the real thing after that, golfers should say, okay, what is the process? What is action number one? Even if it's a very small one, what is the action number one the golfer will take this week, and then for the next 3 weeks, just do action number one. Then this way, you need action, you need a plan. The goal itself doesn't do any good.
Right.
It's how would you achieve the goal that people should spend more time on?
Execution. KORLYNI, Honolulu. Well, you know, I always learn something when you're on the show with me, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to read this one, too. When you are on the field, play as if nothing else matters. When off the field, remember that the game doesn't matter at all. James Clear said that.
Yeah. So, you see, it's a hobby, like you were saying earlier, Danielle. It's about having fun. It's having quality time with your friends and family. And then if you look at golf, okay, it's a hobby. And the more fun you will have, guess what?
The better you'll play.
Yes.
Bravo, Claude Brousseau. It is always a pleasure learning with you. Claude Brousseau is PGA Master. He is the Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. Thank you. He's the author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. He's a Vision 54 coach and Aimpoint certified. You can find Claude for Best Golf at gmail.com. That's where you find him. Claude, Claude, for the number, bestgolf at gmail.com. Thank you so much, Claude.
Thank you so much, Danielle. They can also go at waleagolf.com, and then they will find all the information.
Ah,
waleagolf.com.
There you go. So simple. Thank you, Claude.
Yeah. Thank you, Daniel. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Okay, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk with somebody who's far, far away. Michael Patrick Shields is on the road again after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Ah, it's Aloha Powers Columbus Week. It's a week-long sale. Aloha Powers Columbus Week-long sale. And it's time to retire those big box tools, you know, the ones that you've had and you've been making do with them because, you know, they've been around for a long, long time. Maruyama is on sale up to 25% off with riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. You got to go in to Aloha Power Equipment. From home to commercial-sized riders, yeah, that's the one you want so you don't have to break your back. You can, that's what they've got. And in those lovely chairs, as it rolls around, you can mow it, blow it, bag it, and be done with it. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Well, Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider, his home base is Beverly Hills. Well, this week he's been keeping long hours in London and flourishing in Venice now. He's a radio talk show host. He's an author. He's a travel writer, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. It's award-winning. He's syndicated. A rare bipartisan talk show. He's heard on 12 Michigan radio stations. He's also known for the excellent books he's written. Yeah, books with Larry King, Arthur Hills, Ben Wright, and he writes for USA Today, Cigar Aficionado, Golf Magazine, and dozens of other media sites. So let's get on with it. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick Shields.
Buongiorno, Danielle. Piacere di conoscerti. Come sta?
Buongiorno, Michael Patrick. How are you?
Tutto bene?
Tutto bene.
I'm speaking to you, and it's nearly
8:15
in the evening here what time? In Venice, Italy.
Ah.
Venezia, if you will. And there's a big crowd in front of me here in the square of Campo San Stefano, and a line of people is waiting to go into a building that once was a church, and they're going to see a performance of Vivaldi tonight by an orchestra. And you might say, wow, that sounds special, except it is special. You can do it, you know, every night of the week if you want to, and when you walk out of that concert, you can walk right over to Piazza San Marco, not too far from here, and see three different orchestras in three different corners playing pop hits and classics and beautiful music, and you know you're in a living art museum when you come here to a place with no cars, no horses, no bikes, just boats and lots of inspiration. And poor Vivaldi was a priest who came here from Venice, and he died long before he ever would have known how popular his music was. So you know, there's that. And on the other side of the coin, there was a guy who really lived it up who came from here called Casanova, who you know, I think we can shorten the story to say that he slept with more than 100 women. And when he got to the convent and started doing that, they finally put him in jail.
Oh, wow. Finally. A convent? My goodness.
Yeah.
Boy.
I'm pretty sure that's the legend. And, you know, people like to have the romance of the Bridge of Sighs. And maybe you've seen it, and they get their pictures in front of it. And the boats with the gondolas singing go underneath it. And the presumption is that people sigh because it's so romantic.
Oh.
truth of the matter is that bridge goes from the Doge's palace to the prison.
Oh.
And anyone who was sentenced, like Casanova, had to walk over that bridge and take one look out the window at the last time they were going to see the sunshine and the sky.
Wow.
Forever, probably, because their cells had no windows and no hope. So they sighed that way. So I hate to ruin the romance of it, but that's some of what you'll learn if you come here to this beautiful place. And if you do, I highly recommend Londra Palace Hotel, which is right on the lagoon and right around the corner from Piazza San Marco. And there's some irony to it, because as you mentioned, I was in London earlier this week and now staying at the Londra Palace Hotel. And of course, Londra means London.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that funny? And,
yes.
And I went to the palace, Buckingham Palace, for the changing of the guard, and I actually went for the first time ever also to Windsor Castle.
Wow.
And a further irony, the whole reason I was in London in the first place was to MC an event, the 50th anniversary of a restaurant called La Familia in Chelsea.
La Familia.
Which happens to be, obviously, by the name, an Italian restaurant. So, you go to London for an Italian restaurant. You come to Italy to stay in the London Palace Hotel.
Now, have you been on the gondola yet?
Yes, I have done that. In fact, first time I came to Venice 10 years ago, I was supposed to be coming with a wife who, you know, let's just say she got another ride by the time it was time for us to travel here.
Okay.
So, again, the sadness was it was all scheduled ahead of time by IC Bellagio, the travel company.
Uh-huh.
So I said I bite the bullet and get in the gondola by myself. I did, because as a travel writer, I wanted to see what it was like and
right.
be able to speak, you know, with yes. authority about it. But mm-hmm. All by myself, oh, solo mio, I got
oh,
in there.
Oh, solo mio.
And the guy starts singing. He says, "You want me to sing and everything?" You know, in his Italian accent. And I said, "Yeah, you got to give me the treatment." So there I was, going under the Bridge of Sighs, sighing for my own reason. But that's life, huh?
Yes.
What are you
going to
do?
Hey, it's Italian. You know, it's Italian. You know why? And so what?
But you know what? Another irony just happened, and
yes.
that is that I'm standing about 5 feet away from Julia De Carolis, who oh. is a guide for IC Bellagio, and she will get you anywhere you need to be in town. And 10 years ago, the very first time I landed at Marco Polo Airport, is what it's called, and came off that plane, I said, "How do I get?" Well, you go by boat. And she was waiting there to guide me, and we got into a water taxi, and we started going across the lagoon to get to the hotel. And I asked her, you know, "Do you think Venice is the most romantic city in the world?" And Julia De Carolis said to me, "I think if you're with the right person in the right frame of mind, any place is romantic."
Oh, priceless.
And we became fast friends, and she's standing here right now a decade later. A fantastic story and how important she's been every time I've come here in my life. It's amazing. It really is.
Truly.
I suppose Hawaii would register, right, as a romantic place?
Yeah, depending on who you're with.
No.
Now, now, what brought you?
Yeah, I've done that with wives, and what can I tell you about that? You know, there
well,
it is.
Oh, well, you know, gee, Michael Patrick. I've just felt a downer. We haven't had one of those.
Well, I'll tell you about a restaurant here, too, called Da Ivo. D-A, second word, I-V-O. And if you can get a table, this every year during the Venice Film Festival, which is the oldest film festival on the planet, that restaurant gets virtually consumed by celebrities and movie stars who go in there, including George Clooney especially. And it's only got 30 seats. So if you get a chance to go to Da Ivo, you will see pictures in a book. They keep them because they cover all the walls if they did it any other way, of everybody from the Sultan of Brunei to Elton John sitting in there. So, and they're not there just because they need to see or be seen. They're there because the food is really, really good, decades-long
yes.
good. So another just a piece of advice that you would read about and I will write about, of course, after visiting Da Ivo a number of times over the last couple of years.
Wonderful. Okay, you know, travel writer Michael Patrick Shields, he has journeyed to more than 35 countries. I mean, is it expensive nowadays? And what's the flying time like to go, you know, obviously, from Hawaii to Italy? It's 12-hour difference.
Well, you know, you mean you start in a pretty big hole there if, to get anywhere, don't you, really?
Right.
But, I mean, you live in paradise. And so
right.
You can get nonstop. I mean, you can get a nonstop from Los Angeles to London or to Rome. I think if you go into London and you come off that nonstop, the smartest thing you can do is buy a 15-pound sterling ticket on what's called the Heathrow Express and just roll your luggage from the baggage check right onto this lickety-split clean train, and in 15 minutes you're in central London at Paddington Station.
Wow, really?
And, you know, people, they love Paddington Bear, and it's a beautiful station. It's visually stimulating, and from there you hop in a London black cab, which you've all seen. It's iconic.
Yeah.
And it'll take you, and you have a totally British experience, you know, and to continue that British experience, there's a series of hotels called Red Carnation. There's one right next to Buckingham Palace called Rubens at the Palace. There's one called the Milestone, which is right across from Kensington Palace. And in between near Harrods, the department store, which is like a palace, there is the Edgerton Hotel, which feels like someone's house. So you can stay connected to the royals, stay connected to your British experience in those Red Carnation hotels. And that's my other little piece of advice for you if you're going to Jolly Old.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's really important. It's just that people in the news business, we're hearing about, you know, planes and difficulty getting a plane. And there's all these layovers that you didn't expect to have to experience. You don't experience any of that stuff, do you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But, you know, it's anecdotal, I guess, day
yes.
to day.
Yes.
Piano e piano, as you might say in Italian, and take your chances.
Yeah.
And try to pack your patience, because sometimes things happen that are really beyond your control. And, you know, we're lucky to be able to do these things. We save up to be able to do them. And you know, what would life be without the experience of learning and traveling?
Yeah, and you can see Michael Patrick Shields' photos and what he's talking about all of the destinations that he's got: Ireland, Las Vegas, of course, Motor City, London, and beautiful Venice. And all you have to do is go to the A position or traveltattler.com. Is that it, Michael Patrick? And you can see all the 35-plus countries and countless visitor destinations around the world. If you want to get going, and, you know, it's not only Hawaii who's listening. So this is good information. I love London. I absolutely adore London. My auntie lived in London, and of course I stayed with her for months and months and had a wonderful time. But I've never been to Venice, and it just seems so, you know, romantic. It's a perfect place to go, and it's in the midst of all this water, which is good for people, and so it has a soothing sort of feel to it, I'm imagining, because that's what I want to think. That's what imagination's like. Yes, there you go. That's it on me in London and not being to Venice yet. Michael Patrick Shields, where are you off to next?
I'm going to take the train to Verona tomorrow, another romantic place.
Oh.
Stay at the NH Collection Hotel there, and then move on the train the next day to Milan, where I'll stay at the NH Collection Hotel and try those out. I'm going to the birthday party of a designer in Milan, his wife Barbara. But Verona is the home of Romeo and Juliet, another romantic place.
Yes.
And supposedly, if you put a note in the wall to Juliet, your romantic wish will come true. So I'll test it. I'll try it.
Yes.
And we'll see what happens.
Yes. Wonderful.
It's going to say, "Dear Georgia Maloney, can I meet you, please?"
Georgia Maloney, where are you? Did she arrive?
She's in Rome. She's the prime minister of Italy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Did your other, the lady who's with you, is she still there?
She's patiently waiting for me to get off the radio.
Oh, yes. She's a wonderful person. And whose dog was that in the background? That's, you know, what everybody
wants. Oh, but I know you love dogs, though.
Oh, you know, any animal. Throw it in front of me. I'm a pushover. I'm a pushover. Michael Patrick Shields. On with the journey. Thank you so much for being on the show. I can't wait to go
Arrivederci. And aloha.
Aloha. We're going to... Oh, no, we're not coming back because the show's almost over. But I did want to tell you about First Tee. If you haven't heard of First Tee, a youth development organization that teaches life skills and helps kids and teens build their strength of character through golf, and Century, one of the largest business-focused mutual insurance groups in the United States, they've announced a new partnership that will help further First Tee's mission. As a trustee of First Tee, Century's investment will support network-wide initiatives that are helping to expand programs, especially in underserved and underrepresented communities, as well as keep the kids and teens engaged at the, you know, as they go through the program and go toward higher education. The initiatives include curriculum enhancement, technology innovations, ongoing research, and expanding diversity and inclusion efforts for the growing network of 150 First Tee chapters. That's magnificent. I'm inspired by the work of the First Tee, said Pete McPartland, Century Chairman of the Board, President, and CEO. And I want to thank the people who make this show possible, because without you, I wouldn't be able to do this. No, I couldn't. The Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club is brought to you by... We welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round, wind down after work. And by the way, not only are you going to feel better, you're going to breathe, right? You're going to breathe in because then your muscles relax. And we're not talking about you relaxing your grip or anything. It just everything kind of gets together and you get stronger when your muscles are relaxed. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Group. Good golf, good food, good fun. It's Aloha Power's Columbus week-long sale. Columbus week-long sale. Yes, because it's Columbus Day on Monday. This is a week-long sale. You can work smarter and faster and easier. Just go to Aloha Power Equipment. They've got their riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, and more. And Maruyama on sale, up to 25% off. That's phenomenal. You can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment. It's open Monday through Saturday at Evile, in Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. The Aloha Section PGA, thank you so much, because you teach our children. You're teaching our children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. You make friends, you make business acquaintances, you can fit in, and it's just a wonderful feeling. Yeah, sure, I got my clubs. Uh-huh. For self, for health, for friendship, and for family. Go golf! Claude Rousseau, you heard him, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding's banks, shopping centers, businesses, hotels since 1939. They can't find you without your sign. You got to have a sign, okay? And they don't put those wonderful numbers telling you where you are in the street that you're traveling on, desperately trying to keep your eyes on the road while trying to look to see if you've passed the place you want to be. No. It's something that you got to have a sign, and just get in touch with Honolulu Sign Company, and that'll take care of it all. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. It's going to be sunny, Oahu and Maui, scattered showers this morning. On Kauai, isolated showers through the day, possibly some thunderstorms in the afternoon. Locally, heavy rainfall is possible in the afternoon. High today between 85 and 90. Easterly winds about 15 miles per hour. So that's Kauai, okay? We're going to have partly cloudy, isolated showers, lows 71 to 76 tonight. Easterly winds about 15 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. And tomorrow, maybe tomorrow's a better golf day for you. Partly cloudy, isolated showers, Oahu and Maui, 84 to 89, lows 70 to 75. Those variable winds, though, they're still with us. And on Columbus Day, if you've got the day off, you know, some of us don't. Partly cloudy, scattered showers. High today, high on Columbus Day, 88. The low, 75. Oh, no. The low will be 70 to 75. The winds are variable to 15. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.